Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the importance of becoming a regular, systematic reader of the New Testament. Regular, systematic reading of the New Testament will make you familiar with the New Testament, and it'll change the way you see life. And I've spent, I guess we're on our fourth week here now, I've spent 4 weeks trying to give you reasons to motivate you to become a regular reader of the New Testament. And this week we've been focusing on the fact that it will help you deal with the times in which we live. We live at the end of this age. The return of Jesus is near. Times will grow increasingly difficult, but knowledge from the Word of God will enable us to look past the difficulties to what's really happening. The kingdom of God is about to be established on this earth. There's more going on than what we're dealing with right now in this moment. We're part of something bigger than ourselves, bigger than this life. Hebrews chapter 11 lists numerous Old Testament people. You're familiar with Hebrews chapter 11. People sometimes call it the Faith Hall of Fame, where various Old Testament people are commended for their faith as it enumerates the exploits they did through faith. Now, I don't have time to read the chapter, but when you read it, you find out that their perspective was, this life is not all there is. We're only pilgrims passing through. Hebrews chapter 11, let me read. Let me say that, and then we'll say this. If you were to study each of their stories back in the Old Testament, you would see that all these people had God's help and provision during their lifetimes, but they still knew that there was more to come. There was life after this life. And actually, they understood that they are coming back to this earth to live once the visible kingdom of God is established on this earth. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But we're told, let me read this, I'm down in verse 33. These people through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the enemies, the armies of their enemies. Through faith in God, they did all these wonderful exploits. But, let me keep reading, verse 35 says, others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than to turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in a resurrection to a better life. Now, we could do whole lessons on this, but hopefully from that passage that I read, you recognized a couple of people. It talks about men who stopped the mouths of lions. Well, that would be Daniel the prophet, who was thrown into a pit with a hungry lion rather than abandon God and worship a false god. They quenched the violence of fire. Well, that would be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a fiery furnace rather than bow their knee to a false god. They chose torture and death over abandoning God, and it says here because they knew they had something better awaiting them. Others placed their trust in God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than to turn from God and be free. Now, obviously, those men, those four that I mentioned, were delivered in this life and lived out their natural life and then died, and their bodies went into the ground. And they are now in heaven awaiting a return to this earth when the plan of redemption is completed. But let me read the very last two verses in this chapter, verses 39 and 40. It says, all of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had far better things in mind for us that would also benefit them. For they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. In other words, these people understood that there's more people involved in God's plan than just us. We live our lives. We fulfill our part. We go to be with the Lord to await the other people who will live out their lives and fulfill their part. And then we'll all come back to earth for the completion of God's plan. And then if we keep reading here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." These Old Testament men and women watch us as we run our race. They are eager to return to earth when the plan of redemption is completed at the second coming. They're up there rooting us on because they have a part in the plan as much as we do. See, that eternal perspective helps you keep this life in perspective. So much we could say. Let's close by considering something Peter wrote to the people over whom he had charge in his first epistle. He wrote to people who were experiencing persecution in the form of verbal slander and social pressures. There was a general dislike of Christians, and it was about to become active, violent persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero. I'm sure you've heard of him. He was a nut who persecuted Christians fiercely. But Peter opened his letter with a statement about their hope. He begins with hope. Now, hope is expectation of coming good. It's not something you have right now. It's an expectation for something that you know is coming. Let me read. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter said we have a hope or an expectation of a salvation that will be revealed in the last time. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus made it possible for us to be transformed from sinners into sons and daughters of God, and it has provided us with an indestructible inheritance or a salvation that will be revealed when Jesus returns. Now, if I were to keep reading, which I'm not going to in the interest of time, verses 6 through 9, Peter encouraged his readers, in light of the fact that there is a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time, in light of that fact, he encouraged his readers not to be moved by the persecutions they faced and would increasingly face. Then he defined what he meant by the salvation revealed at the end of the age. Let me start reading in verse 10. "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, searching what manner..." "Of which the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ within them, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow." Now, a lot in that we're not going to talk about right now because we're almost out of time. But he defines the salvation that is ready to be revealed is the salvation that the prophets were interested in. Well, prophets would be a reference to the Old Testament prophets going back to the earliest days of mankind on the earth. It's the salvation that God has been promising since man sinned in the garden and the curse of corruption and death entered all of creation. Back there in the garden, when Adam sinned, God came immediately and in Genesis 3:15 promised the coming Redeemer Jesus, who will undo the damage done and make things right. Peter says this inheritance is kept for us in heaven. Now, don't think clouds and harps. Heaven is God's unseen kingdom. It's in another dimension. The power of this unseen dimension transformed you from a sinner to a son when you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The power of this unseen dimension now supplies you with provision, power, and protection in this life. And the power of this unseen dimension will ultimately raise your dead body so you can live on this earth again once the world is transformed and restored to a fit forever home for God and His family. In verse 5 of this same chapter, as part of his statement about the salvation that's kept for us in the unseen dimension, waiting to be revealed at the last time, the salvation that the prophets have been writing about since the beginning of time. In fact, in the book of Job, this is one of my favorite verses, Job 19, verses 25 and 26, Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end I shall stand upon the earth in my body with my Redeemer. Job knew the Redeemer was coming, and even though his flesh was going into the ground when he died, he knew he would one day be reunited with his body to be on this earth with his Redeemer when his Redeemer comes again. In the context of that salvation, Peter says, verse 5, we who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. As part of this statement, Peter wrote about God's power keeping us through faith until the plan is completed. God works in our lives by His grace through our faith. But most of us are in fear, which is the opposite of faith. Our faith is fear masquerading as faith. If I just don't say certain words, I'll be okay. If I give enough money to the church, I'll be okay. If I don't say anything negative. No. The remedy for fear is seeing reality the way it really is. And reading the Bible systematically and regularly will do that for you. The remedy for fear is seeing reality as it truly is. Here's reality as it truly is. Nothing can come against us that's bigger than God. Everything we face is temporary and subject to change by God's power, either in this life or the life to come. And God's plan for a family on this earth, made new, will be completed, and you'll have a part in it. That's reason to be elated in joyous expectation when you see perilous times coming on this earth, because we know the completion of the plan is near. This is the perspective you will get from becoming a regular systematic reader of the New Testament. This perspective will make you fearless in the face of life's challenges and lift you up above in the midst of life's hardships. Become a reader of the New Testament. More next week.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.